Transportation Economic Development to order for July 7, 2005. A couple items for us here in work session. Senate Bill 5548 on the transportation fees and House Bill 2052 relating to housing. Susie, you want to start us off, please?
Did you open a work session?
Open work session, Senate Bill 5548. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. This is the fee bill that for the Department of Transportation ratifying the fees that the agency established or increased administratively during the interim. The bill only included the plate registration fees, and during our public hearings in the joint committee, we added the innovative partnership unsolicited proposal fees and the pilot program road user fee to the measure, so you'll need to adopt an amendment to include those two bills. We also discussed during that public hearing the access management fee increase proposal that you'll notice that's not in the amendments. The chairs of both the Senate Special Committee on Budget and the House Special Committee on Budget have decided that given the subcommittee's recommendations on that, that they would be including a amendment in the program bill at the end of the session to not adopt the fee for access management. So those won't be included in the fee ratification bill. There's also no fee fiscal impact because these are fees that have already been implemented by the agency and they've already absorbed those costs of implementing a fee.
And where's our fiscal impact?
It's attached behind your
okay, got it.
Mr. Chair.
Yes,
Senator. I'm not sure that I quite understand about the pilot program fee. Having been a member of the road user fee task force for a long time, I'm trying to figure out exactly where the fee comes in. Someone might need to explain that.
Step forward, please. Whoever else is necessary.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Bruce Warner, Director of the Oregon Department of Transportation. Senator Berger, your question is related to the three per mile fees that are outlined in this bill. If you remember right, the discussion of the alternatives to fuel tax was to look at experimentation and piloting of some tests on a vehicle miles travel
right.
tax in lieu
right.
of a gas tax. So this would allow us to, for those vehicles who were enrolled in this pilot program, to not pay the gasoline or fuel tax
That's
and
right.
pay this instead.
Okay. So they don't pay the tax, and then what? But you're charging a fee?
Mr. Chair, these fees that you're seeing here, they will be for those vehicles enrolled in the pilot program, and when they go to the pump to have their gas put in, it will essentially shut off the fuel tax portion of that fee and put in its place a per mile tax, so that when you get the printout of the bill, you'll be paying for fuel.
All that rode in the pilot car,
right.
and all that. I'm just trying to figure out where the money. I'm trying to follow the money.
So this money is charged instead of the fuel tax. That will come to the state then into the highway trust fund. It can be used just like the highway fuel tax, but this will be just for that pilot program. These folks will be paying these per mile fees in lieu of the fuel tax.
Okay.
Am I answering your question, Senator?
Yes.
Okay. I think so. I think I was going with following the money the wrong direction. That's fine.
Okay.
I think I've got it. Okay.
Further questions, Senator Morris? Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could you elaborate, Bruce, a little more on what's happening with this pilot program and when it's expected to sunset and conclude the findings?
Mr. Chair, Senator Morse, I don't know the exact timeline of the pilot. Mr. Marsh may be able to tell you, but we will be shortly starting the actual pilot, and I believe it's going on for almost a year, I believe, in terms of the time that these fees would be charged in lieu of the fuel tax. Mike, do you have a better estimation of the time?
Mr. Chair and Senator Morris, yes, it would be for the next, in essence, 2 years.
But 2 years, okay.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Senator Morse.
How many vehicles do we have involved
in this? Mr. Chair, Senator Morse, I believe it's 300 at this time. There are volunteers who come forward, and primarily, I think, in the Portland area.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to support this, but based on conversations I have with a lot of folks, there's a lot of paranoia and reservations about going down this road too far.
Senator Johnson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If we're done with the pilot program, I want to just jump back to the innovative partnership. I just don't understand what the words say. It appears that there's a fee of $5,000 for proposals under $100 million and $10,000 for proposals over $100 million. And then on the other side, it says $10,000 for projects under $100 million and $40,000 for projects $100 million or more. And I just don't understand it.
Mr. Chair and Senator Johnson, I will try here, and I think I've got a number of folks wanting to step in and help on this one. I think if you look at the first section where you have the $5,000 and $20,000 on the first page of Senate Bill 5548, you'll notice the word initial conceptual proposal. And then if you notice, the next page relates to the detailed proposal. So there's two sets of, this envisions a two-step process where essentially you start with a concept, a very, general proposal. You do the due diligence and work negotiate, and then you start working on actually moving forward in the real project. And that's when you want to have some additional revenues and additional buy-in on the project.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Please, Senator Johnson.
Do you have in your own frame of thinking what the initial proposal would look like? Let's say that I have an innovative way to build a bridge. Mm-hmm. And is my first one just a letter? Or to what degree of detail is the first engagement with ODOT that cost me my initial, let's say my bridge is under $100 million? Is it to what depth of specificity for $5,000? And I understand what you're trying to do. You don't want to have to sort through every proposal where if you wrap tinfoil around the legs of the bridge, it'll last for 100 years. I mean, you want to get to serious stuff. But what constitutes the framework that you're expecting?
Mr. Chair and Senator Johnson, we actually have adopted some rules that outline the general framework for what we would expect from the private sector if they wanted to give us an unsolicited proposal as outlined here. But essentially it's a general description of the project. It's a general description of how they're going to actually implement that project. It's a general description of the financing scheme, what resources they need, general timelines. And again, it's essentially an initial business case for how they would propose putting together that particular project in terms of a public-private partnership.
I think that's great. If the chair would indulge me, one more comment.
Senator Johnson.
I think that this might be something that it's too late this session, but we might want to take a look at. All of us in our normal conduct of our jobs as senators get all kinds of proposals recommending all sorts of things to government. And I think maybe looking more globally at some criteria that would qualify a proposal so that in an attempt to serve our constituents, we're not asking state agencies to evaluate stuff that has no opportunity of moving forward for any number of reasons. But I think you might be onto something. You certainly are embracing public sector input, but you're trying to do it in a responsible way that does only yield legitimate proposals. I might take exception I'm going to support this, but how high the fees are with respect to being able to anticipate whether or not you're looking at a legitimate, credible proposal. But I think the concept underlying it, to try to not take an enormous amount of time going down blind alleys, is very worthwhile.
Very good. Yeah, I'll just remind the committee, as staff is reminding me, it's a long time ago you saw this. It's 2 months ago that you all dealt with this. Right. So the refreshing is a good idea, I think, because we'll have to explain this to our colleagues on the floor. And I appreciate the hard work the department's done. Certainly these two packages. One's in response to Senate Bill 772 from 2003. We're trying to encourage this innovation, so we're all learning together, and hopefully some bugs will be worked out. No harm, no foul, and then next session or in the interim, we'll be able to moderate this and help improve it. And then the other one also is a pilot program, which is probably the way to see if this has any legs at all. Certainly different bills have come forward, and we've wrestled with, is this a good idea or not? We have an opportunity, I think, to at least pilot it. It's revenue neutral, so it's not raising any big new dollars. So I echo Senator Johnson. I think this is a thoughtful, prudent, slow rollout of some interesting ideas. Thank you very much, Director. Any further questions, discussion on the bill? I would point out also that it does not include the access fee. That there were some issues about whether they could or could not do that. I think that's an interim discussion and something for next session. So there's no access fees in this bill. That was my understanding. That was the wish of this committee. And we went down that route for that reason.
We just had to keep talking long enough, Mr. Chair, until Senator Westland got here to make the motions.
Yes. Are we ready to make a motion? Actually, we need two motions or three. We need to amend in the innovative partnerships and the pilot program fee. Is that correct?
You need to adopt the dash one amendments and then send the bill to full committee.
Okay, dash one has all. So, Senator Johnson, would you like to make a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move the dash one amendments to Senate Bill 5548.
I see. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move the amended 5548 to the full committee with a do pass recommendation.
Very good. Discussion? Objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Thank you very much. Appreciate all your help.
Carrier.
Let's see who asked the most questions.
Who was the politest?
Nick Westland.
Westland, he wasn't here. Senator Westland will carry this.
And I'll ask him the question.
That's all right. I'm going to beep him up on the pilot.
I will help. Okay. I'll help my friend out. Next item on the agenda is House Bill 2052. Open up a work session here.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, House Bill 2052 is relating to housing. It increases the revenue bond limit for the Housing and Community Services Department to $2.5 billion from the current $2 billion level and deletes the obsolete provision to the IRS code. In your packets before you, you have the fiscal as well as a revenue impact. The agency anticipates that its current loan program rate of about 180 to 230 million in loans per year, that they will reach their current cap late in the 05-07 biennium. This is giving them some additional room under that cap to continue their programs. There is no amendments.
Chair will entertain a motion. The chair moves House Bill 2052 to the full Senate Budget Committee with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Carrier, who wants to carry this? Senator Morris, I'll trade you the transportation thing for the housing community development.
Well, that's fine if that works with
Senator Morris will carry.
Like the transportation.
Senator Morris will carry. I do have it on firm authority that Senator Schrader was a yes vote on this budget, so I would request he be so recorded. Seeing any other business coming before the committee? We are adjourned.
I did that brilliantly.